Hanley, Miller, Conley, Ellis, and who's the matter on the agenda?
Is 172? Okay, House Bill 172. Mr. Snowden, you want to join us? Preparation jury list.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Art Snowden, Administrative Director of the Alaska Court System. The bill before you would allow us to change the time when I must draft the jury list. Right now, under law, I have to use pretty much a permanent fund dividend list that is prepared about a year before I use it. Therefore, it's almost necessarily out of date. This law would allow a later date for preparation of that list. The Department of Revenue has communicated with us that there's no problem in them preparing the list as of September 30th. It would give us a more accurate list. It would certainly lower the amount of mismailings and create less problems for everybody within the system. It has no fiscal costs, and I would recommend the bill to you.
Okay. I had three people signed up to testify here, but I can't tell what they signed up to testify on. Okay, so is everybody that signed up on 129? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, since we do now have a quorum, could you entertain a motion?
Representative Miller?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move House Bill 172 out of committee with individual recommendations.
Is there any objection? There no objection. Motion carries.
Next on the agenda.
It's an amazing display.
House Bill 129. And we've been joined by Representative Martin and Mr. Snowden, did you want to address this bill also?
Mr. Chairman, this bill was introduced at the request of the Supreme Court. The basic purpose of the bill is to set the salaries of the officers of the state in an objective manner, take it out of the political arena. As you know, our interest is that a recommendation was made years ago for the raise of judicial salaries. It was not acted upon for a number of reasons that had nothing to do with merit, and during that time we lost 20% of the judiciary before something finally got enacted. We don't believe in the judicial branch that this is an appropriate way to do business to retain and keep highly qualified people within any of the branches of state government. We think an objective body that sets salaries based on a number of requirements that are in the bill would be a far preferable way to proceed. Many states have salary commissions. 9 states have salary commissions, and the federal government have salary commissions that have the authority to set salaries. We think this is an appropriate approach to the subject. I note that the House Judiciary Committee has a CS that I don't think has been adopted yet. I would be glad to discuss specific things in that CS if you would like me to do so.
Not yet. If you want to just stay with us, Art, it'd be fine. Unless everybody else I've got signed up here says if questions, so you don't feel compelled to testify on it if there's no questions, okay? And we do have Mr. Mike, how do you pronounce your last name?
Nizek,
okay. And Bruce Cummings and David Otto. Yeah. Representing different branches of the administration and be available for questions. What I'd like to do at this time is have House Counsel go through the draft CS and explain what's in it so the committee would understand what's in there, and then have people ask any questions they want to ask Mr. Snowden.
For the record, my name is Laurie Otto. I'm staff counsel to the House Judiciary Committee. And what I'm going to do is just highlight for you what the changes are in the draft Judiciary CS, which is dated 3/12/91, Kramer. The first change is on page 2, lines 19 and 20. This is a technical change to correct the drafting error. What has happened is that per diem has moved up to be before if authorized by the Public Offices Commission. An earlier version of the bill had allowed the commission to set both per diem and additional allowances, and the State Affairs version took out their ability to give additional allowances. So this provision was never changed. Since I can do per diem, it says per diem if authorized by the commission or additional allowances. So that's really a technical drafting change. The next change in the draft judiciary CS is on page 4, line 6, and it has changed the report from being due in even-numbered years to being due in odd-numbered years. The next change is on page 4, line 10, and where it says public officer, the earlier version said public office. That was just a drafting error, and that's been corrected. The next change is the addition of, or the deletion of the section C, which would have started on page 4, line 13 in the earlier version of the bill. And in that version, the effective date of the report where the effective date of the new pay raise would be on the first day of the next regular legislative session. In previous commission hearings, apparently the Commissioner of Administration expressed concern about having pay raises become effective in the middle of the fiscal year. In addition, the pay raises apply to members of both the judicial and executive branch of governments in addition to the legislative branch of government. So it appeared to be a broader problem than just saying that it starts on the first day of the legislative session. In addition, there were other problems with the effective date clause, one of which is constitutional and one of which is also triggered by the Constitution, and that is that the earlier version of the bill that came out of State Affairs had the pay raise become effective by the language of the Act automatically without being subject to the legislature's appropriation power, which is constitutionally necessary. There is a case that was brought by Public Employee 71 under the Public Employee Relations Act who insisted that they were entitled to a pay raise that was agreed to pursuant to a collective bargaining agreement that had not been funded by the legislature. The court said no, they weren't, because the express terms of the act said that it was subject to the legislature's appropriation power. So this adds in a provision that the pay raises are subject to the legislature's appropriation power, so that the state doesn't get in a situation where it has to pay for them where there's been no appropriation. And finally, there's a constitutional prohibition on decreasing the compensation of judges, certain judges, the governor and lieutenant governor. So the section addresses what happens if the commission recommends a decrease in compensation.
And which is prohibited by the Constitution, right?
Well, you can do it if it's a decrease in compensation for everybody. And so it addresses what happens if that's the situation. And then the final change is on page 6, line 10 of the draft CS, and that is the addition of section 22, and that says that even though the report is due in odd-numbered years, if the first, let's say it passed this year, then the commission would have to provide a report in 1992. So the first one would be 92, the next one would be 93, 95, 97. Or if the legislature passes it next year rather than 91, then the first one will be 93, 95, 97. So those are all the changes.
So we just set that aside and invite anybody to ask questions of anybody or Mr. Snowden as to the original bill, which is the bill that's before us.
Okay. That's the original bill before us.
Okay.
The State Affairs CS.
Yeah, the State Affairs CS is what's before us. Anybody have any questions on the State Affairs CS?
Yeah,
Representative Cabina, did you wish to address the committee, or you're welcome to sit up?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, I'm just
participating.
No, I'm just listening.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we do have the State Affairs Chairman here, if anybody has any questions about the State Affairs version also.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, because we're using a lot of factors in here, and I'm very interested in legislative feedback, and I've written all the reports on it. I hope we will have a little more time to design, but not the intent to get it out today.
I don't care. I mean, I think I'd like to see the legislation move pretty soon, but I mean, if there's a... It depends, Representative Martin. I mean, if everybody else on the committee wants to vote the bill, I'd go along with that.
Yeah. Well, actually, see, some of the things I want to get in more detail with is the Department of Labor and the Bureau of Statistics and stuff like that. And then also I want to reevaluate what the Compensation Committee did before that some of us had questions on for legislated pay raise and see how that... interface with the member, Representative Larson and I were about the only one that attended the last meeting. and so we had questions, and I want to see how that relates about where those materials and legislative pay raise with the current bill. Another thing I'd like to look into here is a thing that Representative Wernberg and I have talked about a number of times, is the Mini-Madison amendment that would make a pay raise take place in relationship to the next legislative session, rather than when we're in office and people be criticized and things for that when we had nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Actually, well,
you didn't know that.
It would
sound fun to check.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Chair, both Representative Greenberg and myself are on State Affairs also, and mm-hmm. that was the original intent, and that's some questions that I have, although we have not yet addressed the proposed or what would be become amendments to the State Affairs. But those were some questions that I will have when we get into there, because the reason we had it on the odd numbered years was because it's the odd number for the ESP.
Yes, what
trying to think. Okay. I guess the amendments would, yeah. But anyway, it was supposed to be that idea, the Madison type amendment, where the legislation we would deal with it the 1 year, but before those would take effect would be an entire new legislature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess if we're talking about that, what I envisioned was that if you went to, I don't want to get too confused now. In the State Affairs version, it's the even years. If you went to odd years, you could just half fund for the first year, so that the pay raise, any pay raise wouldn't take effect until halfway through the fiscal year, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And then it wouldn't be till everybody stood for re-election before it went into effect.
Right.
And I envision it as part of the appropriation process that the legislature at that time would have the option to whether they could just half fund it.
That's what I have here. When do you play with even and odd? So even would be our second session when you take action. For the next legislature that convened in an odd year.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the question I had, because I felt in looking at the proposed amendment, we'd have to deal with it in an odd year versus the proposed amendment, which would be the even year if we wanted that to work. Because it's
just one way to look at one way.
Right. I'm just
right. It's going to be a
The commission report would have to come. The commission report would have to come in an even year, and then to take effect in an odd year, because the new legislature always takes effect in an odd year. Right. So.
Yes, and that's what the 9-6 does. That when you change a new judiciary, you change it to an even year.
Right.
That's good.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. The report have to be due in an even year.
I think we should do that, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I'm still not completely sure what we are doing. I mean, it's real confusing. I ran through this once.
I agree. That's what I'm saying a little more time, because we referred to even odd back here again, on page 6, line 14, I thought, well, let me put that out in my mind later.
Are you on the State Affairs CS or the other one?
I was going to judiciary, but I thought of it.
Page 6, third.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, when we introduced the bill, the reason we had it in odd years was that's when the legislature came in and allowed it to deal with it immediately. When they came in, it was a new legislature. They could deal with it at that point in time. In an even year, the legislature is doing a lot of other things, running out to meetings, going back to their districts quite often. It might not get the attention in a busy year that way, but we take no position on whether it being an even an odd year, but the thought behind putting it in originally, it would face the legislature, they'd be all elected, they'd be here for 2 years in the House, 4 years in the Senate, and it was something that they'd face right away. So it just seemed like a reasonable thing, and that's why we suggested it that way.
Mr. Chairman, and just response to Mr. Snowden, and I see his point, but there is concern by many members of the legislature that if we approach something like the Madison Amendment where there would be a pay raise, because this deals with not only all branches of the government, but the legislative branch, of which we are very concerned about and somewhat sensitive to, and the public perception is these dirty bums are giving themselves a raise. Whereas if they don't like it, they can vote us out and somebody else will get the raise.
As I said, Mr. Chairman, I wanted to just give the rationale of why we submitted the bill. We have no problem with the legislative amendment on whether it be even or odd years, as long as some finality is added to this age-old argument.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See that. Okay, Mr. Gruenberg?
Yes. There are a couple of issues. I apologize for being late, Mr. Chairman. There are a couple of issues that I talked with Senator Rohde about, and I thought these are not, by the way, I support the Madison concept. I think that's a good, at least from a legislative point of view, makes no difference from the judge's point of view, makes no difference, I think, virtually from the governor's point of view. Nobody's going to vote for or against the governor. It does, unfortunately, become an issue in our races occasionally. And so I think that's a way of dealing with that. But another issue, Mr. Chairman, and I talked with Senator Rohde, and I, Representative Martin and I had drafted and introduced House Joint Resolution 60 last year, whether this needs to be a constitutional amendment or not. It would. Senator Rohde has, I think, a proposed constitutional amendment to do much the same thing. Only in his bill, the actual salary is not set by the legislature, but is set by the commission itself. And if that were to occur, that would, he feels, require a constitutional amendment. The constitutional provision dealing with legislative salaries is in Article 2, Section 7, and we can pass out our books here if we want, since we no longer get them.
You can leave.
Okay. Well, anyway. Don't need it. Do you need yours?
No.
Okay. It says, would you believe, legislators shall receive annual salaries. They may receive a per diem allowance for expenses while in session and are entitled to travel expenses going to and from sessions. Presiding officers may receive additional compensation. I'm not sure what that is intended to mean, legislators shall receive annual salaries. I don't know from the face of it that that would preclude legislation putting the amount in some kind of a board or commission.
Representative Gruenberg?
Yes.
We do have a memorandum specifically on this subject in the members' packets.
Okay.
Dated March 8th.
What does it say?
It's from Teresa Kramer, legislative counsel. We have asked whether CSHB 129, State Affairs Committee, Public Office Compensation Commission violates state constitution. My opinion, the bill does not violate state constitution. Although there are some situations, et cetera, and we've gone ahead and fixed those in the proposed CS. Mr. Smith.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rohde and I have discussed this constitutional amendment. He will be moving both pieces of legislation. He's not meaning that as a CS. For the legislation as proposed before you. The reason that Senator Rohde would need a state constitutional change, as is stated by Representative Gruenberg, is that it gives the new commission the power of appropriation, basically. This bill does not. But by allowing them to set the salaries and that's it, and you have nothing to say about it, Senator Rohde's bill would actually give this commission, basically, the power of appropriation. That would require a constitutional change.
Right. Mr. Chairman, for Representative
Groomberg. For what it's worth, I'm not aware that we've ever given away our power of appropriation. And for what it's worth, I have very great reluctance to do that.
Well, we're getting way off the subject. I think this doesn't have anything to do with the bill before us. Representative Martin?
No, Mr. Speaker, on that particular point, though, I don't think we need to get into a constitutional amendment as long as we reserve the right, like we have in most other bills, depending upon appropriations. And so, therefore, as your original state art is that we will appropriate, but it will be established and acceptable by the people once a commission of the people themselves establish these financial legislative duties, then we would have no qualms established, you know, given the appropriations.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Snowden?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I would like to comment a little again, since it's only a work draft on the House Judiciary Substitute and the possibility that it might be adopted, or
Okay.
might be adopted. I note the change on page 4 of the work draft that allows the Commission to make its report not later than the 60th day and continues through the session.
No, that is in the State Affairs version.
I'm sorry, I guess the draft I have that went in. The reason I have a problem with that is twofold, and I only picked it up today. I think
Wait a second. First, I don't understand what your point is. Are you saying what?
I would like to see a change to the original legislation that was introduced, Mr. Chairman, that would state that, if I may, the Commission shall submit a report of its finding every odd or even, change that to even number of years, within the first 10 days of the regular session of the legislature.
Okay, so you wanted to say 10 days instead of 60
days. And C of that section also says, an order making changes shall become effective 60 days after submission. Or at the end of the legislature, whichever is first, basically, whichever is early, unless a bill disapproving this order in its entirety is enacted. Now, the reason I feel is a good idea, rather than wait till the 60th day, is a number of legislators and other people aren't going to be around to comment if they're debating this into the 60th day of the legislature in front of the commission. And I would think legislators and their staffs and other people would want to testify in front of this commission. And I also think that it's easy for the commission to do its work and to put out a report before the public and have hearings, which I think they should have, and report to the legislature at the beginning of the legislature. And give the legislature time, not at the end when the legislature's got a million things that are happening, and major issues, other issues coming before it, budgets and conference committees and so on and so forth. I believe it should be submitted within the first 10 days so it can be given a considered look by the legislature. And I believe it should become law within 60 days, just like administrative regulations become effective, if not disapproved, but in the first 60 days by the legislature. I think there's symmetry there. I think it's the correct way to do it. I think that the public has time to have public hearings before the session starts, so you can hear from your constituents before you come. And I think it should be addressed by the legislature in the first 60 days of the session before all these other very pressing matters come before the legislature. And I think that is important language.
Okay. Now, that's in the State Affairs version. The 60 days is in the State Affairs version. That was a change from the original bill, which said 10 days, which I believe you're advocating for a return to the original bill.
I am, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Representative Martin.
I can see the enthusiasm here for us to get a decent salary and the judges and so on. But looking at it from our point of view as the legislators, the last thing in the world I'm going to be criticized for by the electorate is that the first thing we did is our own salary. You know, so I'm in no rush that within 60 days we're going to take care of appropriating money for ourselves or our well-being and stuff like that. So I would say maybe if they would report to it within the first 30 days, because they're human beings, they're citizens and everything else. 60 days may be too late within the session to report to us. But at the same time, we should evaluate this bill like any other bill.
Yeah.
And it may be at the end of the session that it's finally approved, and with a bunch of other bills, and then it takes place the approach of the fiscal year. I hope that by approving our salaries mid-session or mid-term, that that would not have any impact on the citizen perception of us in relation to reform. But in any case, make sure it doesn't, it's not implemented until after the fiscal year, start the new fiscal year.
Okay, first I'd like to call on Chairman Kabina from the State Affairs Committee, and then we'll go back to Mr. Stone.
Arthur, your point's well taken. The reason we changed this is we thought if it came in the second half, within 60 days, and then it wouldn't become effective until that 60 days. In other words, at the end, there would be an election in there, and it really would then take effect after the election. That's why we put it at the end, but I certainly realize your argument. It may be harder to debate and to take up at the last 60 days, but our thought was trying to get it so that there was an election in between when it actually happened and when it took place, and that's why we changed it there.
Mr. Chairman, okay, 2 points. If I may.
Snowden.
Number one, I'm not suggesting that you can't put in this language in the bill that whatever happens doesn't take effect till after the next election. That wouldn't affect that at all, that part of the bill. And to Senator Martin's point, his point is that you're appropriating money or something. All as this does, the legislature can appropriate the money at the end of the session. This has nothing to do with the appropriation, which is a separate, entirely separate legislative act. All this says is that the commission's report comes in within the first 10 days. If the legislature does not act to disapprove it within 60 days, then it becomes law. The appropriation is a separate thing, which we've already stated. You can appropriate the money at the end of the session. You can make it effective in September. I'm only suggesting that if you want to testify and have input, that if they're doing these hearings while you're down here, I don't think you have valuable input, and I think other people are down here. I think that this commission has plenty of time to meet before the end of the year, and it should have public hearings, and that you should testify, and having it come in the first 10 days of the session, I honestly believe it'll get more rational treatment than it would late in the session when there are so many other important issues up, and I think it should, it deserves the gravity of your review.
Okay. Mr. Cummings, did you want to make, is there any para questions involved here and what day this report should be made?
In the Public Employment Relations Act, we're required to report within 10 days of the session or immediately if an agreement is reached during the course of the session. We just today transmitted terms of the Local 71 agreement, which was ratified today. If it happens in the interim, we have 10 days to report. The legislature has 60 days to expressly disapprove, and then the Appropriation Act is a separate process.
Okay. So basically the court
That's
bill
exactly
paralleled
the same
the
process.
Para-law. Okay.
That's correct.
Representative Martin?
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chairman, we're all promoting everybody. Mr. Chairman, there's a tremendous difference between us addressing the salaries and benefits of our state employees and addressing our own well-being. And I really don't want to mix the two consistently, because a lot of times legislative bodies, and the federal government's a good example of that, on behalf of our federal employee, we're also going to slip something in for ourselves. And it's not acceptable by the public. I think we can be, I don't think we have anything to worry about whatsoever once we allow the commission to establish these things and do it in a way without rushing through it. I don't believe there's the rush that Mr. Snowden is saying. For instance, we did it by teleconference during a session. No one minded that. It was a Saturday morning one time, and a weekend at another time. And so there's no real rush. The only thing we want to be sure is that the pay rate doesn't commence until new legislature is sworn in. It's only a tricky thing there.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions of Mr. Snowden or any other witnesses in the audience? Thanks, Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your time, and certainly if I'm needed to answer any other questions, I'd be more than willing to appear. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to go ahead and see what the committee's thoughts on this 10-day versus 60-day issue is. I mean, we have two clear alternatives. There's the state affairs version, or there's the original version of the bill. And if we could determine that, then I could go work on a CS that would incorporate one or the other, whatever the committee's will was.
Mr. Chairman.
President Prino.
Attending window seems fine. On reflection, in deference to Representative Martin, the difficulty I have is that having been on the other committee, I didn't get a chance to hear the distinctions between them, so I'll have to have some time to do that and hear what the other major changes did, or is that the only change between the two?
Oh, well, the other changes that I've drafted proposals to put forward before the committee, we'll do dealing with the constitutional questions that the drafters raised in their memorandum. Okay. Try to answer those. And Ms. Otto, have the drafters take a look at what we did here, and they've said that this would address their questions they raised in the memorandum to us?
Yes, they did.
Okay. Representative Grunberg?
Yeah, I did not recall our conversation in the State Affairs Committee on that. It seems Mr. Snowden's comments on the 10 days make sense to me. I would like to see them, the 10 days. And with respect to the other changes, I understand not that we will go out there, we're going to look at this. I would like to look at it next time we meet tomorrow, whatever. I want to see the changes you've done.
Okay.
No, I don't think I'll have any problem, I just like to look at it.
Okay. Could we just have, like, do people want to have, like, a quick vote now about what should be in the proposed CS, whether it's the 10 days or the 60 days?
Mr. Chairman, I apologize for not having the full benefit of all the arguments. I was in and out of the room, but if you could help me through this, because what the State Affairs Committee was trying to do of having pay raises for legislators become effective after an election, after the voters have had the opportunity to pass judgment on folks and bring back the ones they want to give increased pay to and reject the ones that they don't. That's a great feature for all of us. It's good public policy and it's good politically for all of us.
And that remains in here.
Right. If the 10-day is the time period in, or if there's, it's the shorter time period in which to pass a resolution rejecting the proposed pay increase, if the legislature does not pass that, does the and Mr. Snowden made the point about the appropriation, the effective date, and we can appropriate money for the pay increase in the future, but would people have a claim for a pay raise? I guess I'm talking myself into confusion here about how this works. So could I ask you to lay out the two choices between the pros and cons of the 10-day and the 60-day?
There are actually more than two choices.
Okay. Did I miss more than I thought I did?
Maybe I can phone call.
Okay, Representative Grunberg.
Okay. Assuming we like the Little Madison approach, and I don't hear any great argument about against the Little Madison approach, and people are nodding and smiling. What that means is it doesn't take effect until after the next election, which means it doesn't take effect until an odd-numbered year.
Okay.
Now, there are two questions there, and that's one issue, that it takes effect after the next election. The second issue is in which year the report is made. Obviously, the even-numbered year is prior to the odd-numbered year. So if you want it to be taking, if you want the report to be, I can see that was a tough and profound statement there. So if you want it to have been decided the previous year, then you wanted to have the report made in the even-numbered year. That's the second choice. And the third choice is when in the even-numbered year is the report made. The two dates are the first 10 days of the session or no later than the 60th day.
Okay. And that time period relates to us giving testimony and input. It has nothing to do with when the pay raise becomes effective for those sitting legislators.
You are absolutely correct.
That was my confusion. Okay.
You're absolutely correct. And it seems to me, just speaking personally, to make sense to have it in the first 10 days for the reason Mr. Snowden, and it should be the first 10 days of the even numbered year to take effect in the odd numbered year. That's my reason.
Okay.
And I agree.
And we could make a change also to make sure it's was part this in the state affairs
version.
Yeah, but is this word calendar in the state affairs version?
No, because
Then there's another thing we need to address too, that I can take care of in SCS, that we need to make sure that goes effect for the calendar year and not the fiscal year. If you're going to do it in the, the even number years like the state of Harrisburg, because otherwise you're going to fund the last 6 months during the election.
Disaster.
Maybe I'm missing something here. Under, I believe, the judiciary and the state affairs version, I don't see, maybe it is the state affairs version. In the original bill, I see where Mr. Snow was talking about how it takes effect 60 days after submission. Is that in our version?
No.
Okay, so that's not being...
Different.
That's a different issue, again.
That's been cleared up. His was entirely different than state affairs.
Well, what I heard him advocating, I believe, was...
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Was that the 10 days went back with there's no real reason whether it's 10 or 30 if it isn't tied to the 60 under his point, I believe. And that's...
They're different issues.
The raise would become effective after 60 days, but the date of the raise wouldn't be till after the next legislative session. Okay? In other words, whenever you do this, whether it's in 60 days or 10 days, the effective date for you to disapprove of it is X amount of days. After that, you're going to put in the bill, I assume, that the raise becomes effective after the election.
Yes. But I don't see the 60-day takes effect in either the state affairs or the judiciary version. That's what I wanted to clear up.
Well, it's subject to appropriation. In the judiciary version, it's subject to appropriation, right?
Right, but what Mr. Snowden is advocating is adding another provision similar to what Mr. Cummings discussed.
It becomes effective
60 days after without action and then after appropriation. So Mr. Snowden is actually advocating adding another provision that is not in here.
Mr. Chairman, I do not support that aspect. I like the language that's in here now. And if you would contrast the language in the original HB 129 on page 4, lines 16 through 19, with the language in the judiciary CS proposed on page 4, lines 13 through 15. The language that Mr. Snowden had is, an order making changes shall become effective 60 days after submission or at the end of the legislative session, whichever is earlier, unless a bill disapproving the order in its entirety is enacted into law during that period. But the present language is, the proposed language from the judiciary CS, an order changing the compensation does not take effect if a bill disapproving the order is enacted into law before the effective date of the change. I think that the new version is much simpler.
Mr. Chairman, basically suggesting is a follow the parallel law only to the point it has to be submitted within 10 days. You have to disapprove it within 60. But my answer is the pay can become effective after the after the elections. I have no problem with that. I'm just saying that you have 60 days to disapprove it, but the terms of that compensation won't become effective until after the election.
I'm going to take the opposite point of view. It seems to me the way most legislation perks along around here, it's tough to pass anything that the sun is going to rise in the east when it passes in 60 days. It's going to take that whole session to do anything, and we shouldn't hold ourselves hostage to a 60-day deal, since it's not going to take effect until after the next election.
Well, we do that with the existing contracts, don't we? And we do that with executive orders.
I understand, but this is a little different. It's going to be a political issue, and it may very well require the full session for the thing for law.
It's going to be hard to budget if the issue isn't resolved.
Well, the budget passes 48 hours before the end of the session under the
Yeah, but that's my point. It's going to be hard for the Finance Committee to plan to prepare the budget document unless they've got a resolution of this issue before the 60th day.
I just think politically it's going to... If you make it harder to disapprove by doing this, that is going to have a political repercussion.
Mr. Martin?
Mr. Chairman?
I know.
none of them are going to have his attention to. I'd rather not put any restriction on the legislature in this particular case. I can understand with our state employees and so on, but I'd rather allow a legislative body feel at ease in giving itself a pay raise or even approving what a compensation committee did. So if you need 90 days, if you need 420 days in a package and you're going to have your legislative council monies in there already, it's just a matter that I feel the legislators are condemned for everything and anything as it is. So why rush the first thing as a new legislator giving yourself a pay raise, whether it was done by an objective group or not? I'd rather not that have that 60-day clause in there. No action automatically means you approved it.
Representative Cabina?
One thought that I had with this whole bill is that this bill, as originally put, and I tried to keep it that way, was it depoliticized things. And that's one reason I like the 60-day issue, that it gets it out of the way. And the more I think about the way we changed it to put it at the end of the session, the more I think that's a bad idea, and Arthur is correct, that it should be early, and it should have the 60 days to get out of that, because otherwise you're back into the same thing. At the end of the session, when you're passing all those important bills, and we throw a political animal in there that the minority and the majority are going to play back and forth with each other, and it just allows you to create those problems again. I agree with Arthur. I believe the 60 days time frame puts it in there early and get it over with. If we're not going to do it, we're not going to do it. And if we're going to allow it to become law, then you've got it done with the first half of the session. So I'd like your personally to keep the 60-day part in there.
Jim Gruber?
As we know, in the first 60 days of the session, we don't have a lot on the floor. Most of our work's in committee. But this will become a major issue in the beginning of the session. There's not a lot out there. And there, you know, if somebody wants to do it for political purposes, they will introduce the bill early on. And it will become a major cause célèbre. It's going to attract a lot more attention then. I'm not saying that bad, good, or indifferent, but that's a fact. Much more so than maybe later.
Mr. Chairman, I've watched this legislature for 18 years, and I certainly understand what Representative Groomberg is saying. I think somebody will put in a bill in any event, and it will become a political football. And I think these political footballs should end, and that's what this bill is trying to do. It's trying to put a date and a time on which it ends. And if you don't put a time certain on that, you'll have a political football for 90 days or 120 days. And I suggest you do put an end to it, and you put an end to it early enough that you can get on to your other business that's going to be very important at the end of the session. And this does do what the para law does. It also tracks your ability to turn down administrative recommendations, administrative regulations. You have a 60-day period for that. I think it's a rational period of time. I think before it happens, the Salary Commission will have to have hearings. They'll have public hearings, as the present Salary Commission has done. And this will give you time to deal with it. And in any event, whether it's 60, 90, or 120 days, somebody's going to put in a bill. And unless you cut it off, it'll be a political debate forever, and we're going to be right back to...
One good thing about the 60-day provision is that it might help us with the shorter session.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
that's it, run.
Mr. Chairman, just to get us off a dime, I'm not really sure how I'm going to vote right now. I'm going to make the motion to insert the 60-day into whatever...
So to go back to the original version
right.
of the bill?
Yeah, just okay. to get us off the dime.
Great, I'm glad. I think everybody knows the, sure. understands the motion. The motion is to go back to the original House bill that was introduced, version on this. All those in favor signify by, I guess, raising your right hand. Okay, all those opposed? It's a tie.
How's the chairman vote?
They also can tie. You
have the council vote.
Oh, we have one member that didn't vote.
No, yeah. I've got to, let me look at it.
More, it's before it's voted. Can we leave it before the next meeting?
Sure, we can.
Yeah, sure. It's that close, I guess we'll decide it tomorrow. I'm going to go, and I haven't heard any objections to the constitutional corrections we've made in the CS.
Yeah, I'm not making any objections at all. I'm not saying a letter. I just would like to have a little time to overnight to just to look at it.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, just one question, too. I'd like to hear a bit of the rationale why the even years were dropped out and it was submitted with odd years, because that seemed to throw us off the schedule.
I think we've just talked about that.
But we had even years, and the report would come down on the even years and take effect in the odd year, which would be, but in the proposed judiciary.
I think they've got to change that.
They're going to change it back to the way it was in state
affairs.
Yeah, it seemed
like more people wanted to go with the state affairs version rather than the original version.
Okay, that's
implemented.
But we are going to have, I am going to bring you a bill tomorrow that addresses this calendar versus fiscal
sure.
year issue.
Oh, yes, yeah. Certainly. It should be calendar.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. So we'll just, and the CS hopefully will be available before the meeting, and just like this was in the members' packets before the meeting, I encourage you to come down and get it and review it.
Well,
Martin?
Procedure-wise, since I've been bugging that, I see no problem at this moment since we've had these state affairs before that someone wants to formally bring the CS to the judiciary as the vehicle. Just had to add that in like a CS before the person, not even have the original in front of us. So I think procedurally, you're quite all right if someone wants to use the state judiciary work draft as a vehicle.
It'd probably help a lot because most of it's the constitutional correction stuff mm-hmm. we had to do to satisfy the drafter's memorandum in terms of Mark Gruber.
Just so I understand, and I again apologize for being a minute late here, is the main change on page 4, the additions of sub C and D, is there anything else, Laura?
Except for that odd to even numbered years,
which is
we're
going
to change back.
And there's also on
and
page 2,
that's a tech. There's a technical right. correction on page 2, lines 19 to 20. It actually was to conform the bill to an amendment that was made in state affairs. So it was a cleanup amendment. And then there was the addition on page 6 of section 22, lines 10 through 14, to address. But that'll be taken out because it's going back to even numbered years.
So that whole section goes. Okay. I have no objection to the adoption of the CS.
Was it Mark?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I wonder if staff could go over to the repealers that we have, especially 18, 19, 20. Would you know?
There is a copy of all the statutes that are being repealed in your packets.
Oh, okay, good. Number 17, 28, okay.
Do you need a motion?
Sure. Okay, the motion is to adopt the committee substitute for purposes of discussion. Any objection? Hearing no objection, the committee substitute will work off of this and bring amendments to this tomorrow. Okay.
Can we discuss the 10-day just a little bit more?
Or if you'd like to, you're the swing vote.
let me get it. So the concern is that if we have a 10-day and a 60-day, that there won't be enough time. Is that correct? Is that the concern of some people to pass a bill? And the concern of the other people is that it gets tied up in the political games at the end of session.
Finality.
Yeah,
finality. Get the thing.
Right. Okay. So I mean, my. Just off the top of my head, I'm going to think about it a little more, would be to have the report submitted the first day of the session. I don't know why they need 10 days if they can get their work done beforehand, unless the intent is to have hearings during session. Now, that's a different subject, but I don't think that is. I think they're going to do their public hearing, so there's no reason why they couldn't submit it on the first day of session. And possibly extend the time frame for disapproval to at least 70 days or maybe even go a little further to take care of the concerns that it wouldn't get right to the end of the session, but would make it more feasible for a bill to pass. So it may address some of the concerns. I don't know what the time frame is. But
I think the 10 days just came from, that's where the para thing is. That's the only reason.
But I think the first day is a good idea, unless there's objection, and then possibly we debate how long we feel we need to legitimate chance to pass the bill, because I do see the problem right at the end of session with the gamesmanship, and maybe a 70 or an 80 day after that.
Okay. Mark?
The 10 days don't worry me. I'd rather have that, you know, give them some flexibility of time, so within 10 days report to some legislature. The important section, though, is allowing legislators to, and especially new legislators, to talk with the commission. And it was a shame that Representative Lawrence and I were the only ones that sent it two meetings, but we had real good discussion with the commission, who didn't realize that, you know, as legislators, this is destroying, this is destroying, you have families, you have this. And it was, you know, it's the first time they really talked with legislators or anyone felt comfortable of talking to them about, you know, we're in this and, you know, what you do or what you don't do has an impact on us. And so I'd like to have that kind of time or with that understanding that you will have the debate and that the commission can change its mind according to whatever recommendation comes out of those hearings during the legislature session. So I don't know if we can do that within 60 days. I don't want to tie the hand of legislature.
Representative Miller?
Mr. Chairman, I think Representative Martin, hopefully the commission will have submitted the report for the first 10 days, so they shouldn't be having hearings after they have submitted the report, so I don't see what what's going on there. They shouldn't be. The report has already been submitted.
Mr. Chairman? Yeah, you're right. If everything was going to be concrete and just what they say is it. But we did find out when we expressed certain concerns about travel, about this housing, problems that families were having and things like that. They don't even thought about
that. I really don't want to get it.
So if you want the report to be up or down, amen, that's a different story.
Unless the commission has the ability to amend the report after they submit it, it's not, this discussion is, you know. So, Mr. Chairman, I understand that we'll be looking at this amendment tomorrow, and maybe 60 days isn't the right day. Maybe it should be 75 days.
Well, we've got a date for people to think about this, and maybe you could, you know, it'd be easier to try to just gel it over in your minds and see if maybe we can make a decision tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Maybe Representative Hanley can come up with an amendment.
Yeah, well, everybody's always welcome.
I just threw that out as an option that I didn't see being discussed.
Sure.
But,
no, it's a
viable option.
That's.
Okay, so let's just hold this over till tomorrow and see if we can vote some of these things up or down, just changes to the bill. Okay? Well, with that, I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting.
That note has been the case that the judge has signed the order and that Exxon was going to think about pulling out, but they're not going
to. I don't want to talk to you about something.